Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
So we're going to continue our series, Recalibrate. And the point is we're recalibrating our lives. And we are to line up like with the fullness of Jesus, okay? So we're recalibrate. What do we need to change? What do we need to do? We want to line our lives up with the fullness of life that Jesus promised us. And so I'm going to start off by reading Ephesians 4. It says this, and I think this is so beautiful. It says, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. So if you have heard the truth about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, then here's your next step. Throw off your old sinful nature, okay? So you don't get to just hear about Jesus and go, cool, I'm in with Jesus. And he's like, oh, you can say the same. Nope. There's work to do immediately. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted. Well, how is my life corrupted? By lust and deception. And instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Okay, so there's a newness that needs to come. Put on that new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So our nature is meant to line up with God and be righteous and holy. And so all these thoughts and attitudes and our very nature can be recalibrated by the power of Jesus. Now, this does not happen by just like rubbing a lamp, my genie God, poof, everything's changed my life, transform me overnight. That's not usually how it works, and I don't think it has for you either. It's a process, right? It's a process of being changed to become like Jesus. And these come through spiritual habits. And that's what we're talking about in this series. So spiritual habits in areas like, we're going to hit diet, exercise, mental health, community, tech use. And right away you're like, JD, none of those are spiritual. What are you talking about? You said spiritual habits. Those aren't spiritual. Well, that's the point of this series, is to kind of help recalibrate your thinking on that and understanding this more. So I'm going to recommend a book that is for sale out there that this series is based off of. The Body Teaches the Soul by Justin Whitmill Early. We sold them, I think we sold out last week. We got some more. I don't know, but it's great. Get the book. You can learn a lot more about this. And I'm excited for what it's going to do, because we are spiritual beings in a physical body. Okay, we're spiritual beings in a physical body, and how we live in our body actually does affect our soul. And so that we need to line up with that. And so our preaching team, I'm excited over the next while, the next January and February. They've got great insights for topics we've been given. You know, I can admire the fact that Pastor Mike will get up here and he'll talk about diet, which is impacting because he lives those habits. So that's going to be awesome. Or when Jen talks about exercise, that's going to have power because she is literally a human exercise machine. So she knows what she's talking about. All the other speakers, Pastor Monica, Jeremy, Melissa, they're going to crush their messages because they're crushing that life experience that they're doing. Then there's me, and I get tech. And okay, which I find kind of ironic, because I wouldn't say I'm an expert on that by any means. In fact, if anything, tech and entertainment is quite often my weakness. And if you're in Freedom Session, you know, you have a drug of choice, and entertainment is my drug of choice that I default to. And so I'm like, oh, I don't think I have this mastered by any means. So why me, why tech? And well, I was actually assigned this topic, which is great, but it was for a reason. Not because I'm some kind of expert, but because I am intentional and I am aware, both as a parent and just in my own life. And so I'm going to hit on some of that today. And today I just want to direct lots of my thoughts and tips towards teens and parents, but it is also for all of us, okay? So this is for all of us. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, you know, it's just some old guy who's going to rag on tech. I see where he's going with this. And no, that's not what I want to do today. Tech really can be a blessing. You know, the machine that keeps the patient alive during bypass surgery, FaceTime that lets kids talk to grandparents on the other side of the country, the laptop that writes articles and blogs and messages about bringing life and truth and all that, or even, Tyler was telling me yesterday, you can get an app for your dog collar and you can mark your property to determine where it goes. There's lots of cool things that are helpful to our lives. So tech can be great. There's lots about tech that I love that I even think draws me closer to Jesus. It is nice to have the Bible app and be able to access that at any time. I use things like the Pause app, which helps me just take a moment and leads me through some guided prayers. Stuff like that is really powerful. Or Through the Word is a wonderful app that helps you understand the Bible chapter by chapter. And, I do that with a group of guys, and we use WhatsApp to talk about it. So I use tech for sure, and I like to watch things like, I don't know, The Chosen is a great example of something, The Life of Jesus, which is a great way, again, using technology to help us grow closer to Jesus is a wonderful thing. And we just want to get into God, get into his word. And, I even want to quickly just say, New Year's resolution, some of you might be like, I'm going to read my Bible. I would definitely say reading your Bible, the whole Bible, is a good thing. If you've been a Christian longer than 3 years, you need to read your Bible. And the whole thing, because, I don't know, just as a side note, I've said this before, but it's hard to be like, I believe the Bible is true and the living word of God. And they're like, have you read it? And you're like, well, no, not all of it. But and you just lose credibility. So read the Bible. Many ways you can do it. I have done a couple times the 30-day shred. Okay, so you listen on like 2-speed or you just skim it. The idea is not to absorb it, but just to like get an overview. And so I just, the last time I did this, I felt like God kind of just showed me something. It's like, what is the whole Bible saying? In that time that I crushed it in, it was like, what's my takeaway? And for me, the Old Testament, what I got out of the Old Testament, the main thing I heard over and over and over was, don't worship idols. This is the thing I got out of it. Don't worship idols. New Testament, don't listen to false teaching. Okay? So like for me, I was like, that's what I heard more than like love God or be kind or whatever. It's like, don't worship idols. Don't give in to false teaching. And I thought, oh, that's really important. They say it a lot in there. But it's telling us, hey, if I can just worship the one true God, if I can stick with true teaching, then I will be okay. And I'll be able to follow Jesus well my whole life. So that's just something good to remember. And I know I probably lost a couple of you because you're like, well, I don't worship idols, JD, and I don't listen to false teaching. And I'm like, but are you sure? Because you can find both of those right here. this can easily become an idol in our life. And if you're not careful, there's a whole heck a lot of false teaching that you can run across that just goes everywhere. Anyways, so with all that said, yes, I love tech and I think it's really important, but I also think it's important we know how we use tech matters, okay? So I want to focus more on that today. It's not like tech is bad. It's more like, guys, great tool, also a dangerous tool. How do we use tech to make us more like God and to grow properly? Because technology, when used improperly, can be our generation's Tower of Babel. Now, you might be saying, well, what is the Tower of Babel? Well, let's read about it and let's look in Genesis 11. I want to read the story of the Tower of Babel. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, here we go, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Sounds like he's like, ooh, that's a good thing, but it's not. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Now, what's the point of this story? I believe it's a critique of humanity. Humans trying to become God through technological achievement. Now, at the start of Genesis, people were actually given a mission by God. They were given a mission by God to scatter, to fill the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply, all of these things. But in Genesis 11, what do? They gather together. They're coming together. Oh, let's build a tower to heaven. We're gonna make a name of ourselves. And they want to make themselves like God, which is the same sin that started in the garden with Adam and Eve. Hey, who needs God? I can be my own God. So they try to be God. And they feel quite pleased with themselves. But God was not pleased with them. God knew what's up. And they're like, hey, these guys are trying to live without me. But I love them too much to let them shoot themselves in the foot. They need me. So I'm actually going to do what a good parent would do, and I'm going to stop them from doing something that's actually going to hurt themselves in the long run, and I'm going to get involved, and he scatters them. Now, God is all for creativity and advancement, but not if it leads to destruction and removal of relationship. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, "You say, I'm allowed to do anything." Cool, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So we need to recalibrate and stop and reconsider. Have I mastered tech? Here's the question for today. Have I mastered tech, or is it mastering me? That's what it comes down to. Am I in control of this, or is it in control of me? Because it can shape my whole life. In fact, I have a good litmus test for you real quick. If you have your phone, can you just hold it up for me? Hold up your phone. You got it? Lots of us have it here. Okay, hold up your phone. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trade it with someone beside you who is not a member of your family or whatever. Just give it to someone you don't know right now. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just give it to someone you don't know beside you. Okay? Now, hold up the phone that is not yours. Okay, now put it under your seat. Just put it under your seat. We're not touching it for a minute. Okay, now, just wait. Let's just linger for a minute. Some of you, it doesn't bother you, whatever, you don't care. It's like, yeah, I'm fine, whatever, I wasn't even using it anyways. Some of you are really like itchy inside right now. What if I miss a notification? I don't know this person. What are they doing? Are they taking selfies? I would be if you gave it to me. Some of you didn't even do it. You didn't give your phone away. What does that say? I can't let go of it. Okay, you can give them back. Okay, give them back. There's a good litmus test for you. Does tech have a hold of your life? Is it an idol in your life? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how to use smartphones, okay? But it does tell us how humans are shaped and how we get shaped, and technology is shaping us every day. So we need to recalibrate and intentionally choose how tech is allowed to affect us. We can't avoid it, but we can be in control of how it affects us. So we want to create spiritual habits and disciplines. Hebrews 12, this is tough, but it's important. No discipline is enjoyable when it's happening, okay? So if you're like, oh no, I gotta learn about how to balance tech today, hey, no, it's fine. Discipline is never enjoyable when it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, hey, there's rewards. There will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So if you can be trained in godly discipline, things that stretch you out of your comfort zone, you receive a harvest of right living. God makes me better and better at life. All right? So digital discipline may feel hard, but it bears good fruit, and it leads to right living God's way. I want to tell you a story. When we were on holidays this past summer, we had just left an amusement park, and I was commenting on the ridiculous cost of a dessert. I was like, that is outlandish. That's ridiculous. And then I was like, I was talking about just how we spend money as a family, and I stopped and I was like, hey, I have a question to my kids. When you're a parent, will you approach finances the same way we do? I'm just curious. Do you think I'm being like over the top here? Are you going to do things the same way? And my daughter Zoe, she surprised me. She's like, yeah, I'm going to do that the same way. I actually really appreciate that. And I was like, oh, cool. And she told me why. And then all of a sudden she went off on this tangent. She's like, actually, I can think of a lot of things that you guys did that I really appreciate. And I was like, do tell. And I actually pulled out my phone and I'm just like taking notes. And she listed 16 things that she appreciated as that we had done for her as a family, and things that she now highly valued and she could see it. And as she kept going, I mean, I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, are we winning at life? Like, what is happening right now? So what are those things? Well, I could tell you, but I actually convinced my 17-year-old daughter, Zoe, to come up and share those. So Zoe, why don't you come up? This is a big deal, you guys. So I appreciate this. I want her to share some of the lists. We've talked about this and some of the things that she values that we've done. And I just think it holds way more weight coming from her than me. So yeah, we're going to list off some of those. So I know you wrote those down. So yeah, you can go for it. Why don't you just share some of those things?
Alrighty. So the first thing I appreciate is they taught us how to use our money wisely from like a very early age. They taught us to put our money in savings, spending, tithing so that we don't just like spend it on just like random crap, but we're actually like learning how to manage our money at like 5 years old. And I feel like it helped me learn the importance of tithing. Like, I don't know, it's almost like second nature at this point to tithe and give back to God because of that. Another thing we do is we prioritize eating together as a family pretty much every night. There's always like, I feel like there's always some sort of tension within families, like no matter what you do, there's always going to be something. But I feel like with us spending constant time together every single night, this kind of like helps us to manage it instead of just letting it just like simmer. It helped us to stay close and manage, maintain connection. So another thing we do also in the mornings before school, we pray together and we do family devotions. And I feel like this brings us together in just like sharing the word, learning different perspectives, different ideas. And even in the Bible, like it says like where two or more gather, there's so much power in prayer where two or more gather together. There we go. And it just like, it puts us in a mindset of just giving everything back to God at the start of our day, every single day. And it puts us in like a submissive posture, kind of. So we have this nighttime ritual, pretty much, where my dad, he'll come in and he'll pray individually with me and my brothers. And I don't know, it's something so simple that we've done like my entire life, but I feel like it means so much to me even still. There's something so raw about like admitting to the things you need prayer for with like one of the only people who will love you no matter what. And it's probably like the most consistent period of honesty in my life, not gonna lie. So another thing we do, we have consistent family nights. We try for at least one night a week where we play card games, board games. We go, we watch a movie, we just hang out. And it shows that like family is so much more than just having the hard conversations and discipline. It's about goofing off and just bonding over the little things. And it strengthens our family unit, I feel like, in the sense that we're not just like spending time together in the mundane things, but we're also seeing the fun side of doing life together.
There's a few more still. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about tech stuff. So those were just some of our family things in just normal life. But we got five that we're going to hit, just tech things we do. Things that you specifically said, and I did not force her or nothing. These are your things that you appreciate, so why don't you share those?
Yeah, so a lot of the measures we have in place regarding my phone, it took me a very long time to, like, come to terms with and, like, not feel resentful. I was a young kid. I thought I'd get, like, ostracized or, like, picked on for, like, being different and, like, not having the same tech abilities as, like, other people my age. But like looking at it now, I feel like I just genuinely appreciate what it's done for me as a person. So the first thing we actually have like a screen time limit in place on my phone. So I usually only get about 30 minutes a day of just like free time on my phone, whether it's like games or just like Pinterest, like I don't know, just like things that I don't need on the daily basis. We have like a restriction on it. And it teaches me to have other activities other than sitting on my phone. It allows me to get bored, which, just saying, is actually like very good for your brain. And it allows me to have hobbies that don't keep me glued to a screen, like reading and like studying when I don't want to. prevents me from having the constant distraction of my phone. So another thing, my parents actually didn't allow me to have a personal device till I was 12 years old. Even though like I envied others who had phones, and I definitely didn't appreciate their decision at the time, it prevented me from having kind of like a childish pride in thinking that I was like better than kids who didn't have phones because I was the one at like the disadvantage. It allowed me to not have like this insane like hubris that like I know I would have had. So another thing I appreciate is when I was younger, I actually wasn't allowed my phone in my bedroom past a certain time, and it locked down before bedtime. So I couldn't even, like, do anything if I wanted to, like, smuggle it into my room. This actually taught me, like, good sleep habits, so I'm not, like, doom-scrolling till 3 in the morning every night. Even though now I'm allowed my phone in my room, it allows me to, like, it still, like, ingrained those sleep habits into my being, so now, like, I don't even go on it at night. I have enough energy for life itself. So the last one, probably the one I actually appreciate the most, my parents are very non-negotiable about me not having social media until I'm 18. And I feel like social media can be so toxic, especially to kids and teens. Yeah, and I'm glad that I haven't been exposed to it because I see the harm that it actually does to people. Yeah, and it's just like, and me specifically being a girl, I feel like it would have affected my self-esteem so much, seeing the insanely impossible beauty standards just shoved at you constantly. Like, it does no one any good, especially teenage girls. So, yeah. Love you. Love
you. So good. Yeah, see, that wouldn't have been the same coming from me. Thank you. I hope that was helpful. For parents, I hope that's encouraging. I am not saying that we did it perfect or anything like that, but sometimes just hearing something different than what the world tosses at you, it's like, you can do that? There was a mom today who was saying, oh, I'm debating giving my 12-year-old a phone now, but I don't want that. I'm like, you can lock stuff down. Like, you can give it and still have control. Really? So there's a lot you can do. Again, we're teaching them how to manage. And so, you know, parents, I hope that inspires you maybe to make some decisions. Teens, maybe you will even just yourself. It's like, you don't even have to wait for your parents to have to lock that down. It's like, man, I want to be able to be in control of myself, whatever. So, but I would say parents, go for it. Like, just... I see the results, you know? She was not happy at the time with my decisions, but I am the parent. We made the call, knowing what was best for them, and I don't regret anything that we did. So, yeah. And if that's weird, you know, like, I just think, like, some might say that, you know, we're being overzealous or too... Sorry, I shouldn't have touched that. Overzealous or too controlling, but I just think we were being intentional. And if that's weird, I'm okay with that because we live in an unintentional world that is deceived by an intentional enemy. And so I will be as intentional as I need to be to help. Now, like I said, they have limited screen times on apps, TV, video games. They got to get permission for more. Like, we literally have, it's like, give me your phone. I got to punch in a password you don't know. Yeah, I'll give you 15 more minutes or something. That's just something we do. Cell phone permit, if you want to find, there's the website. You can look it up at cell phone permit. The concept is, hey, you got to get a permit to drive a car. Why not have a permit to be in control of one of the most craziest things you could have in your possession, and teaching things about, like, cyberbullying, online safety, digital imprints, mental health effects. So that's something I would suggest. We did as a family, we went through. It's like a curriculum. My kids don't get to watch whatever shows or movies they want, just whatever. They have to get approval. They've always done that. And my kids would be at friend's house and they'd be calling me to ask. And what I would do is I'd just be like, well, give me a second. I would look on IMDb, Internet Movie Database, look at the parent's guide. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Or, no, it's telling me what scenes are in this or what's in there. No, we're going to skip that one. I'm glad I had that. Even for myself. Dude, I use this for myself. Internet Movie Database, Common Sense Media, things that's like, I don't want to just watch whatever. I want to make wise choices, and it's nice to thank you, tech, for helping me know how to do that. So that's really good. But when it comes down to it, we start with boundaries. Then we begin to loosen our grip as we prepare them for adulthood. So, you know, even as Zoe shared, it's like the goal is that one day they're going to be adults. She is almost an adult. She's 17. Oh, my goodness. And she'll be an adult. And one day we're not going to be the ones making decisions. But if we can train her now by having healthy boundaries, whatever, she's going to see the benefits and she will make her own wise choices. And that is our goal for parents as a whole, is that we can help them make wise choices for healthy habits. We want to prevent so that we can prepare. Okay, that's how I view it. I want to prevent certain things so that I can prepare you for the world and be able to handle it. And I encourage you to do the same. And even if you've never thought of it or you feel like, oh, they're already a certain age, I've missed my chance. No, never too late. Jump in, go for it. Especially if you're the parent, that's our role. Again, I'm not claiming to be an expert. Many of you do better jobs than me at this kind of stuff, but I've just seen the fruit of intentional decisions. And yeah, you'll get pushback from kids, but they'll thank you later. Okay, now, but for everybody, though, a few more things. Just some practicals regarding tech and the role it has in our lives. Today's a pretty practical message because I think that's important. And again, we're setting up spiritual habits so we can follow God carefree and much easier. So what can we do? Have times and spaces where tech is just not welcome. Like, just simplify your life. Put away your phone when you're having coffee with a friend. You don't need, it's, oh, I'm talking to you, yeah. Oh, just a second, yeah. Yeah, we don't need that. Like, just put it away. Have an eyeball-to-eyeball conversation with someone. I love reading. I mean, yes, I use my phone for Bible and devotions and stuff, but I love flipping a page, highlighting my actual Bible. And guess what? There's no ding. I'm sitting here reading this. Nothing's going to pop up. And hey, you should go check this out. I'm just with my Bible. So do things like that. Take advantage of settings. You know, you're can be in control. Your notifications, your do not disturbs, your personal screen time limits, the apps you just decide to not have on your phone because they're time wasters. We all have those. Wake up before your phone. Go to bed after it. You know, get up, maybe spend some time in scripture before you start going through the news. You know, don't fall asleep with the phone in your face. Like, do things like that. And then also, I think a big one, be accountable with tech is really big. Parents, I think, sorry teens, but this is actually, no, I'm not sorry, this is a good thing. Parents, you should know every password to every device in the house. And you have full permission to take your kid's phone or iPad or whatever at any time and be like, I love you, I'm just curious. What kind of text you been sending lately? What have you been looking at? What have you been looking up, searching? You should have the right to do that at any time. And they're not just magical angels that, like, oh, they'll never do anything. No, they earn our trust. And we still are wise to check and make sure and help them. So I think that's really important. So don't just blindly trust. Spouses, I think it should be the same. Can you confidently hand over your phone or your computer to your spouse and say, yeah, check my internet history. Yeah, do this, whatever. And if you can't, I mean, that's a whole nother thing right there. Have accountability software. I've got Accountable to You is a great one, just to set it up so you can't go to certain sites. You can't do certain things. I'm trying to take care of myself and create my own healthy boundaries, and we have this for our family on every device, on everything. So, I can't prevent them from everything in the world, but I can create good boundaries to make it harder, and I'm trying to prevent my kids from having to just stumble into stuff that many of us have because we didn't have any kind of boundaries. So, all that to say, you know, it affects, boundaries matter, I guess is what I'm saying. Boundaries are important there because there's an ocean of possibility in our hands, and it's just so much power. And so Proverbs 25:28, it says, a person without self-control, a person without any whatever boundaries, is like a city with broken down walls. Anything can get in. It is actually shockingly hard to put this away, turn it off, and we clutch our phones like it's the greatest treasure in the world. But Matthew 6:21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Or as Justin Whitmill early says in his book, he says, the body teaches the soul, and how the thumb swipes is very much connected to what the heart loves. It's a good thought. It's a good thought. So, is tech your master? Or are you mastering it? What changes might you need to make to recalibrate? And again, each week we're going to hit different things that are going to help us recalibrate, realign with God. So what changes might you need to make? It's not necessarily saying, like, you know, toss your phone out the window, whatever. No. We live in a world of technology, but we should be masters, not being mastered. So what might we need to do? In 2 Kings 23, I love this story. King Josiah, he discovers God's word. It's been hidden from them. He reads it to the people. He repents. And he's like, guys, like, we've got to do this. We have got to follow God's ways. But he doesn't just say that, like, let's just follow God's ways. He's like, if we're going to do that, we need to get rid of some stuff. And he just goes on a rampage just through the nation. He's trashing things. He's removing idols that have been put up. He's getting rid of false priests that are spreading lies. He's smashing, he's burning, he's clearing out the ashes. And he's doing a thorough job. Because he's thinking, if we are going to worship Yahweh, the one true God of Israel, if we're going to worship Yahweh, we need to get rid of everything else that stands in the way. When you truly gave your life to Jesus, if that's you, if you've truly given your life to Jesus, I wonder, what did you give up? You probably did give up something right away. Some of you, you burned CDs. Kids, CDs are these circle things that music could be played on. Some of you like me, like, burned CDs, broke them. It was like healing. I don't need this type of music anymore, or whatever it is. You might have stopped watching certain shows. I had to give up WWE wrestling. That's what God told me to do. Some of you got saved and you went and you broke up with your girlfriend right away and was just, my brother-in-law did exactly that. I was like, nope, everything's changing. And it's like, this is done. This isn't working. I got to start fresh. This is unhealthy. Boom. What do you need to purge or recalibrate so you can truly focus on Yahweh, on our God, this year? What might that be for you? I want to just take a moment. Think about that. God, what can I do to make sure I am not mastered so that I, again, concept of the whole Bible there, so that I'm not worshiping idols, which really just means I'm not putting something more important than God. Like, you know, it's an easy example. Like, you could be like, if you had it in your phone, I don't know, maybe this happened to you in worship, and you're just like, I love you, God. Buzz. You actually have a choice right then. Never mind. I love you, God. Or it's like, I love you, God, but I really need to know what's happening right now. Who's more important than God in that moment? You know, like, so don't let it become an idol. Don't, that whole false teaching. Like, we just want to follow God. So we want to be in control of these things. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever you look at, however you use tech, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. I can use this thing for the glory of God. I can use all the access that God has made, all the wonderful tech, all the everything we have, I can use it for the glory of God. And we are meant to reflect God. He's all about relationship with him, with others. And so what does that look like for us? How does your tech use reflect that? What are you watching when no one's around? What are you texting your friends or posting online? What are you Googling? What are you asking ChatGPT? What app are you spending most of your time on? Now, of course, there can be dark. There's a lot of darkness in that. If you're looking at porn, stop it. It's destroying your life. Men and women, whoever you are. I know from experience the damage it does. Yes, there's darkness in tech, but there's also just the mundane every day. And it's still like, I still should be in control of this. I don't want to just waste my life. That's just as bad in some ways. It's just like being distracted and wasting your life. And God was like, I had so much that I wanted to do with you. Now, I realize that some of what I said may have offended you. I don't know. But ask yourself why. Like, why does it offend you? Did I actually say something inappropriate, or did the Holy Spirit maybe use something today to shine light on an area that you just need to do a little bit of cleanup in? I think it's good to be convicted. Not offended, convicted. Let God shine his light so he can clean out every part of our life and bring more freedom. And let Jesus recalibrate and turn every part of our lives over to him, including our tech use. Every part should go to him. Why don't we stand up? So in many ways, if we're being honest, in many ways, we've kind of like tried to make technology our savior. And you're like, what? That's a weird statement. But just, you know, this app will help you sleep better. Watching these YouTube videos will give you joy. This device will calm your anxiety. Maybe. But if we're running to those things before just kneeling at the foot of the cross and saying, actually, my anxiety is submitted to you, Jesus. I don't claim this as my anxiety anyways. This anxiety I'm feeling is something you can remove. Or whatever it is. You know, I don't feel joy, so I got to just watch more YouTube videos. No, you don't. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, we need to turn to Jesus instead of turning to tech first. And that will be, I believe, in our North American culture, North American church, that is, I think, our greatest struggle. Are you actually, you can say you're prioritizing Jesus, but this stuff can get in the way, you guys. And so we need to say, I'm going to use tech in a way that actually just keeps pointing me towards Jesus. And I'm just going to tune out the stuff that doesn't. I want to follow Jesus more than I want to play on my phone. Tech can't save you, only Jesus can. Now back to the story of the Tower of Babel as we wrap up. And I'm going to read from the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I love this story in it. If you want, parents, this is a great one, the Jesus Storybook Bible. I love how they summed this up. This was eye-opening to me. At the end of the story of Babel, it says this. You see, God knew, however high they reached, however hard they tried, people could never get back to heaven by themselves. People didn't need a staircase. They needed a rescuer. Because the way back to heaven wasn't a staircase. It was a person. People could never reach up to heaven. So heaven would have to come down to them. And one day, it would. So we can try our hardest and say, I'm going to be like, oh, I don't need God. I can be God. I've got access to everything. And in many ways we do. Sometimes I think that's also why we got to put away. We don't need, I don't need a million voices. In fact, I've just like, podcasts are wonderful. to do it. I've had to really curate that because I'm just like, I don't need a million voices, even though they're all curated about God. That's actually still too much. Like sometimes I just need to stop and be like, you know what? Why don't I just let him talk to me? Instead of letting everyone else who's smarter than me, a better theologian than me, it's good advice, it's good things. I'm like, do that. But that shouldn't be where you're getting all of your word from God. God, you get to speak to me directly. So we want to, that's what we want to do. And that's what Jesus did. Stop the feeble attempts to be me and do life by your own strength. Instead, you should run to me. Allow me to fill your life and I will give you everything you need. So I want to pray today as we wrap up. And it starts with, first off, just giving our lives to Jesus, saying whether you've been following him for years, or you know, maybe you just need to redo that and be like, you know what? I have let things kind of slip in the way and I'm not sure he's first in my life. I want to make him first again. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I know I need Jesus. Now, I know we were talking about tech for most of this, but it's like, no, God was speaking through all of this. Jesus has just been stirring your heart from the moment you walked in. This is the moment. This is who you make Lord of your life. Not your phone, not other people, whatever. Jesus should be Lord of our life. And so I want to invite you to pray with all of us because we do this together, and to invite Jesus to be exactly that. And why don't we just say, Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you did. That you came and you lived a perfect life and you died on a cross to take away the power of sin and shame so you would give me new life so I could follow you. I receive your life. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Above every other thing in my life, I want you. I place my hope in you. I place my trust in you, that you are the answer and you are all I need. Forgive my sin, wash me clean, make me new. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to do one more prayer real quick because you've said that, and if you've said that maybe even for the first time, it's just strength for us as we, you know, combat. We're in a war. And it's just for our attention more than anything. So God, I just pray for every person here. We all need this. Lord, I know I need it. I'm an easily distracted man. Oh, God, for all of us, would you help us, not by our own power, but by your power, to place things in the right order. Jesus, you get the top of my life. And I want everything to flow from that. So how I use tech would flow out of my love for you, not tech above you, nothing above you, Lord. And for all of us, God, would you help us this week to prioritize, maybe even make the tough choices? God, I pray for all of us where we needed to say, you know what? I think I'm gonna delete this app, or I'm gonna change the time frames, or whatever it is. There are so many practical things we can do that actually are very spiritual habits to line ourselves up with you. God, would you give us wisdom? Philippians. God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Lord, would you give every person here, everyone watching online, the desire to put you first and to make tough choices and changes, but then also the power to do it and stick with it. Lord, we need that. I pray even specifically for parents who maybe were inspired today or whatever, God, that there would just, you would help them make wise choices for their family. And that teens and all of the kids would just be receptive. God, you love family and you want family to thrive, and we don't want anything to get in the way of that. So I pray you would give us wisdom to do it well in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the next step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.